What a declaration. Surely this man was the Son of God. Shall we just pray and then ask God to, as we pray, or ask God to speak to us about this wonderful Good Friday? Let's pray. Oh, Father, we struggle to look upon your Son, for so many here today, our Savior, dying on the cross. For our sake, to take the punishment for our sins. Our Lord, we rejoice in that declaration, even in his death, even with how little that Roman centurion had likely seen of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, there was something about his death that made him declare, surely, this man is the Son of God. And so, Lord, that is our prayer today, that all of us in faith can make that same declaration. Surely this man is the Son of God. And to recognize Jesus as our Savior, as our King, as our Redeemer, as we've been singing. So, Lord, hear our prayers today, and would you speak to us now? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, the two readings that we've had on this Good Friday have both been from Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel was written by John Mark, and it is widely believed that John Mark used the disciple Peter for the source of most of his information for his Gospel. This is almost like Peter's account that John Mark wrote. They spent time together. And so in staying with Peter, we're going to look this Good Friday and also on Easter Sunday at a letter that Peter himself wrote. Now, here's the verse on the wall. It's from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It was on all our invites and our posters. And this is what it says. It's a wonderful verse of Scripture. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, I have to say, there's a lot in this verse all about the joy and the hope of Easter Sunday. And we will come back to think about our living hope in the Lord Jesus in a couple of days' time. But what three words capture why we call Good Friday good? I think it's these three words here. His great mercy. Good Friday is good because of God's great mercy. Good Friday affords us an opportunity to declare God's great mercy to the world. What is mercy? Well, those who are listening to the children's talk a couple of weeks ago, we looked at mercy. Mercy is to show compassion, kindness, love towards someone who has wronged you, someone who has offended you. Our motto text for this year, this is why we were looking at it a couple of weeks ago, says that the Lord requires of us, as we walk humbly with God, to love mercy. But if we're honest, most of us here, in our own sinful nature, struggle to be merciful, let alone to love mercy. Whereas when we look at God, we see it is very natural. God is rich in mercy, we're told in the Bible. God is merciful. We can learn so much about mercy from God. And Good Friday affords us an opportunity to marvel at God's mercy, to be thankful for God's mercy, and I pray above everything else to be changed by God's great mercy. I've got three questions and answers for us on this Good Friday that we're going to work through that I pray will help us to reflect on God's great mercy. Here's the first one. Why do we need God's mercy? Because of our sin. Second question, how can we see God's mercy? Because of God's sacrifice. And thirdly, we have to become personal on Good Friday. What makes God's mercy real to me? Well, a Christian will declare, because Jesus is my Savior. So let's start with our first question. Why do we need God's mercy? Well, we need God's mercy because we have all sinned. We have all wronged. We have all offended God. The Bible tells us that the reality for each human being that has ever lived is this, that we have all been made by, well, that's not a good start on a good Friday. I know I've been doing a bit of talking. There's going to, Lucy, we've all been made by God. We are all loved by God. And we've all been taught the right way to live by God. And I want to suggest this morning that there are three very clear ways that God has taught us the right way to live. Here's the first one. The first one is our conscience. God has given us all a conscience. We actually see our conscience, God's conscience that he's given to human beings right at the beginning of the Bible so clearly. When Adam and Eve take that fruit that God had told them not to take, they know instantly that they had done wrong. Then they knew they were naked. They knew they needed to cover themselves. In fact, when we go to the second story in the Bible about Cain and Abel, we see our conscience again there. There is nothing, that's in Genesis chapter 4, the account of Cain and Abel, and there is nothing to that point saying to either of these two men that they need to bring an offering to God or what to bring. And yet, both Cain and Abel bring an offering to God. Why is that? Well, I was thinking about this in preparing to speak today. I think Romans 1, chapter 20, is so important for us to grasp as human beings. This is what it says. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. Therefore, I think Cain and Abel looked at the world around them, saw the designer, knew that there is God, and they brought offerings to God. And in particular, Abel, with no pointing to instruction from God, what did Abel bring? He brought his best. We read he brought fat portions from his flock, from the firstborn, the healthiest, the strongest. Our conscience is one way that God tells us the right way to live. Well, secondly, he's given us his word, the Bible, with lots of instructions about what is right and wrong. What are the most famous instructions in God's word? Wakey, wakey. Children, help the adults out. Ten Commandments. Most people are aware, certainly in this country where we've been blessed with copies of God's word now for hundreds of years, the Ten Commandments. And thirdly, God shows us, doesn't he, the right way to live in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I sent, you need to put those down, Michelle, because Michelle's going to be my helper now. I sent out a little message on our WhatsApp group because I think it would do us all good on this Good Friday to just think, Michelle will jot down things that stand out to us about Jesus' life in the way that he showed us the right way to live. So let's, should we bring it a bit nearer for risk of it all falling over? There we go. So someone's got to be brave. What stands out to you that you think, actually, yeah, Jesus really shows me the right way to live by this aspect of his life? Compassion. Thank you, Wayne. Compassion. Compassion. See, and my spelling is awful, so the Lord gave me a helper with excellent spelling and much better handwriting than me. I always print out my notes. Lucy, obedience. Thank you. Yeah, Jesus teaches us such obedience, doesn't he? Anyone else? Sorry? Patience. Thank you, Graham. Patience. How many of us, hands up, let's be honest, on this Good Friday, how many of us struggle with patience? Do you know, the children know this. I've had a birthday present since when, about Christmas, and I was allowed to open it. It's a game, and I was saying, well, I'm away on holiday. I won't be able to take it, and they let me. I'm not very good with patience. Yeah. Other things that stand out, there were more coming in about Jesus. Humility. Thank you, Paul. Humility. Over Humility. Forgiveness. Thank you, Pat.
Calmness.
Yeah, again, thank you, Chris. Kindness or calmness. Yeah, put them both down. We'll put them both down. Yeah. Anything else? Love. Yeah, love. Think of when Graham was saying patience. Think about Jesus' continued patience with his disciples. And then also with his enemies, those that were trying to trip him up all the way through that crucifixion account and the teaching in the temple beforehand, people trying to trip him up. Self-control, calmness. Yes, Lucy? Humble, yeah, we've got humility. Lawrence? Faith, yes, thank you. Demonstrates complete faith in his Father, doesn't he? Thank you, Lawrence. Sorry, Danny? Grace and mercy. Oh, truthfulness. Thank you, Wayne. Yeah, so you see, Wayne's working hard. There's a couple, Lucy's couple. Thank you, Wayne. Righteousness. Thank you, righteousness. Yeah, all the way through Jesus' life, he shows us the right way. We better stop there, otherwise we'll end up being here all day and I'll get in lots of trouble. Thank you, Michelle. When we look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't we have to stand back and say, actually, I haven't always been obedient to God the way Jesus was. I haven't always shown compassion, kindness. There have been times when, yeah, I haven't been patient. There have been times when I've completely forgotten God. Jesus lived his whole life remembering his Father each and every day, each and every moment in a day. See, despite God's love, despite God telling us, despite God showing us the right way to live, we all fall short. We've all done, said, or thought things that were wrong, that actually deep down we're ashamed of. We've all sinned. And that Bible word, sin, literally means to miss the mark, specifically God's mark, God's standard. We've all sinned. The disciple John tells us in 1 John chapter 1, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And we will never appreciate, we will never understand or love God for his great mercy if we don't grasp just how damaging and filthy sin is, and how sin separates us from a God who we are told is holy. He is pure. He is always good. He cannot even look upon sin. Part of God's goodness is that he has to be fair. God is wonderfully just, and that means that he also has to punish what is wrong. And that includes our sin, the wrong things that we've done. If God is to be good and just, he has to punish sin. Now, I wanted to try and illustrate, my good assistant will bring up, I wanted to illustrate this morning, if I could. I will probably fail miserably, but maybe you'll remember this anyway. That is my hope. The dirtiness of sin. So I brought with me a couple of visual aids. Here are two bowls of melted down. I've got them actually somewhere. I did prepare. I've got some melted down Cadbury's chocolate. Let me tell you, in case you know, you need to get to know your pastor, especially when it comes to food. I'm a savory man over puddings, but chocolate is my big weakness. and chocolate is my favorite ingredient. And so I was thinking that when God made the world, it is so clear when you read the wonderful creation account that everything was good. But when God made us, we were his favorite. We were very good. So this is my favorite food. I want you to think of this as being my life, maybe your life, and we are God's favorite in creation. The problem is, despite the way God has loved us and taught us, we know that actually we've rejected God. We turn away from God.
Lucy recognizes this. We were reading Isaiah 53 this morning. This is what the Bible says. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way. So I was thinking this morning, what better way of demonstrating sin, with a little link to that verse, than to get some sheep poo? There you go, Josiah. I told you there was something really disgusting that I'd brought with me today. Sam and I very carefully went out before church to the fields near where we live, and we got a specimen here. Does anyone want to smell this? This is legitimate. I'm not trying to do anything flashy. I don't really do chemicals, or I can't work out. Oh, it's even. Do you want to see it, Julia? Or is that going to? No. Do you want to see it, JJ? No, don't know. Yeah, well, you can see it through. It's a bit green. It's a bit disgusting. Now, Sam's going to come out and help me here. When I told my mum I was thinking about doing this, she said, ugh, that's disgusting. And you know, at that point, I don't know whether or not she was trying to put me off, but I thought, in all seriousness, I thought, that's perfect. Because we have a problem in the West as well, let me tell you. In this country, us as Christians, we don't look at sin as gross as what it is, the way our Father sees it. So I did think about this. This is not just meant to be fun. Sam? I want us to think, because sometimes people say about sin that, well, most of the time I'm okay, and a little white lie here or there, a little bit of unkindness doesn't really matter. A little bit of forgetting God, well, that's okay. If I really want something that someone else has got, if I covet, well, it's only just a little, it's not too bad. Well, let's keep this one separate, Sam, for the time being. Do you want to take one of these forks and maybe take off about a centimeter of that sheep poo and put it into the nice Cadbury's chocolate? Oh, sorry about this. Drop it in there. Go, son. He doesn't mind doing things like this. The Lord bless me. Go. Put it. Oh, don't put it on the side of Mummy's pot. Right, you need to stir it in. You need to stir it in. Come on. This I don't know why you're doing this. This is about 90% Cadbury's chocolate. It's only a little bit of sheep poo in there. Come on, Sam, stir it in, break it up. Oh, Michelle, we still got the pot lids, the covers. We might need the covers there. Yeah. Okay. I thought you could man up and do this. Do you need to sit down? Right. Okay. Right. Turn around so people can see. Now, the thing is, sometimes as well, we think, actually, well, we look. That still looks kind of like Cadbury's chocolate, doesn't it? Who wants to try some? Eli, you're quite brave. No, I'm joking. I wouldn't want any of you to try this. It may look okay. Sometimes our lives look okay. But you know what? God sees straight through our lives. He sees our sin. He knows our sin is there. We can't fool God. Now, I was thinking about this a little bit more, and then I was thinking, well, what do other people try and do? And some people, I think, they don't necessarily believe all of the Bible, and they don't want to hear about Jesus, but deep down they are worried. If there is something true in the Bible, that one day when this life is over, I have to stand before my Maker, that worries me. I know what I'll do. I'll give some money to charity. I'll try and do good deeds. If my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds, well then hopefully God will see that and that will be okay. Well, I was thinking, oh, well, we can do this with this demonstration. So Sam, this is really, I brought some icing sugar with me. This is symbolic of some good deeds, some kindness. So I think that's the icing sugar. Do you want to drop that in there? And stir it in. Do you want to test it? Just make sure that's all right, Sam. There's nothing dodgy with that.
Are you sure?
Yep. Is it nice? Yeah, that is good. That might help your stomach out. That's it. Stir it in. Because some people say, don't they? Yeah, you know, they just think, oh, I'll go through life. Yep, my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds. Then I bought some cream. Isn't there? Cadbury's always used to advertise every bar made with a glass and a half or something of cream. It sold it to me. Right. This has spilled a little bit, Sam, so be careful. Drop that cream in as well. come on, work a bit faster. You don't have to put that all in if you don't want. That's it, I'll do. Oh, you have put it all in. Now it's going to take longer to stir in. Do you need me to take over? Okay, so now there's even less sheep poo in there because actually we've got some good icing sugar. We've got some cream. Do any of you want to try the chocolate? You sure, Danny? Could put some in your coffee. No. No. We know, don't we? It's all right, Sam. You can leave it now. Go and sit down. Thank you, son. Oh, yeah, we do need a lid for that. That's why I did bring a second pot to put that. Actually, I'll just leave that down. There you go. Yeah, cover that up. You can leave it there, though. Thank you. God still sees and knows our sin. Whatever good deeds we try and do, we cannot cover them up. It exists. It is there. The other reality is, when we come to the cross, is that we realize that we cannot help ourselves. There is nothing in and of ourselves. Whatever good deeds we do, however small we think the sin exists, and we cannot help ourselves. The only person who can help us is God in his great mercy. The only thing that can actually wash us clean, the Bible tells us, is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to sing a song now all about the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we'll quickly look at our other questions this Good Friday. Thank you, Rachel. So question one, why do we need God's mercy? Well, because of our sin. If we claim to be without sin, well, we're kidding no one. The Bible says we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Question two, how can we see God's mercy? Well, because of God's sacrifice. I want you to notice in our verse, the next four words after his great mercy. In his great mercy, he, God, has given us new birth. What's the most famous verse in the Bible? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Let's stop there. That he gave his one and only Son. You see, we see God's great mercy in the sending of his one and only Son to save us. God wants to be in relationship with you and with me this morning. God wants to be able to welcome us into heaven one day. But the problem is, if heaven is the place that is described in the Bible, would it is wonderfully perfect? If heaven is to be the place that actually we desire it to be, we want it to be perfect, don't we? We don't want any unkindness. We don't want any lies. We don't want any selfishness in heaven. Well, therefore, our sin is a real big problem. No matter what we try and do to cover it up, and if we're honest, I should have told Sam, actually, let's be honest, how many of us just do little sins? Actually, we sin quite continually, don't we? We should have put more and more in. It's a big problem. The Bible is very clear. The wages